This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
This is going to sound crazy, but I remember doing the shows every day, okay?
I was there.
The amount of people who were like, I don't know if Anthony Edwards loves the game. He says he might do a rap album. Remember? We were talking about silly things. Like, Google it. Anthony Edwards rap album. He was sitting in a car, and he did an interview, and it didn't present very well. There were, hey, how could this guy not take that team farther, his college team, in the playoffs?
Right.
There were questions on, what's his work ethic going to be like? He's not 6'7". You know, he's actually a little shorter. I know he's athletic and he's a dunker, but can he shoot? Can he dribble? Can he see the floor? Now, all of these things sound so dumb right now because he feels like he has a motor that you can't quantify and the heart of a champion. But I'm going back to that time, the fact that the veterans were co-signing on Wiseman. Now, look, the organization got it wrong, okay? They're paid to get it right. They got it wrong. They got it wrong. They got it wrong. They got it wrong. Is there an alternate universe where they should have traded up and got Anthony Edwards? Of course there is. But again, like, everyone was on board.
And the fact that they did win a title, I know James Wiseman didn't contribute to that. Like, hey, you won a title in the grand scheme of things. It's not going to cost you. But it could cost you if you don't win another one and Anthony Joe, Edwards goes on to win one. Like, I don't know how it meant. Like,
if you miss, you miss, Joe. Like for example, Darko Milicic, they won the championship, the Detroit Pistons. They missed. They missed on the pick.
Well, can you miss if you never had an opportunity to get him? If Minnesota was going to take him all along, like, then you never really had an opportunity.
Process. Right? Process over results, right? The process that led them to that pick was obviously flawed.
But there's this really realistic scenario that they never had an opportunity to draft.
Okay, that might be
like
that
LaMelo
might be
Ball
accurate.
Is the guy I think a lot of people bring up because he could have drafted LaMelo Ball.
But the fact that they're admitting that they never really truly considered Anthony Edwards and had an opportunity, maybe in some weird world, to trade up. Now, it's not the end-all be-all, but I'm just saying, like, you picked the wrong guy. Right. You guys all assessed the wrong guy.
Brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. So we heard from Anthony Edwards there, talking about that workout, and he needs to, you know, get on a different level when it comes to his workouts, because Stephen Curry, he's on a whole nother level when it comes to that. Him, LeBron, guys like that, they're just built different. And Steve Kerr was trying to challenge him. And it worked, because Anthony Edwards was motivated enough to change his workout routine. And now, we heard from Anthony Edwards, here's Steve Kerr retelling that famous story about the pre-draft workout.
It's a funny story. I mean, I didn't really think much of it at the time. I didn't think I was, you know, doing anything special. We were working him out. I think it was in Atlanta. It was during COVID. So, you know, nobody there. I think it's Joe Lake, Bob Myers, and me. And then Ant goes out to work out with his trainer. We're the only five people in the whole gym. And after 15 minutes of just watching him lazily shoot 15 footers, I thought, you know, when's the workout going to start? And it turned out that was the workout. You know, so I just went down there and I said, hey, can we see something more? Like, and I think he was kind of surprised. So they picked it up. It picked up the pace a little bit. And more than anything, it was just a reminder of how young Ant was. I don't think he really knew what a hard workout was at that point. He was getting started with his career. And then we had dinner that night, and Bob and I both talked about Steph and Kevin Durant and Clay and how hard they work and what it takes to be great. And he was genuinely captivated by, you know, hearing stories about those guys. But I didn't think anything of it. We went back and worked him out 2 weeks later, and the workout was way better. Like, he really went hard. And at that point, we were sure. We weren't sure after the first one, you know. And then after the second one, we were sure. And you could see he was just exploding with talent and charisma. And so, you know, that was basically the pre-draft story. And then obviously Minnesota took him before our turn. But, you know, a year later, he's telling that story about that inspired him. And it kind of caught me off guard. I didn't really realize that it was that big of a deal. But it was pretty cool that he said that. And I think it shows, you know, he's a young guy who wants to learn, wants to be great.
And obviously Steve Kerr, having coached him for Team USA and infamously, famously saying, like, hey, you know, Dwayne Wade, he came off the bench. You know, great players have come off the bench before. He's like, yeah, but there's no Kobe's on this team. So, you know, I'm not coming off the bench.
I love that Ant-Man remembers everyone who slighted him, because I think the truly great players, you know, obviously Michael's like one of the biggest examples. Michael at his own Hall of Fame induction is like ripping a high school coach, you know.
But, well, the meme, right? I took that personally.
Yeah, it's exactly. Yeah. But so does Steph.
Yeah.
You know, so did Kobe.
Did you love real quick the pettiness of Steph? It felt like he was like after the game, not pettiness, but like his fit, the glasses,
clearly
everything.
He was trolling them.
Oh, he was. I loved every second of it. Continue.
But not, this is why I love Anthony Edwards, because I think a lot of us can relate to that. I know a specific individual, there's actually two of them, who in this industry told me I would never work, that had you know, big jobs within the industry and had big power, and you know, they basically dogged me. And to this day, if I see that individual, I want to like shove it in their face. I can't stand them. I literally despise looking at that human being when I see their stuff pop up online, and it fuels me every single day. So there is a relatability to Anthony Edwards being like feeling slighted by Steve Kerr, and that fueling him. And whether it's real or not, he perceived it and used it as motivation, right, to fuel his fire. I love that.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app and now broadcasting live from the Laughing Monk Studios. About 15 minutes, we're going to get cousin Nick Friedell, our Odyssey NBA insider, joining us. And again, 8:30, Anthony Slater, our Warriors insider for here on 95.7 The Game, and obviously covers the team for The Athletic. Warriors, Timberwolves tonight. Coverage of that starts at 5:30 with Warriors Live. Willard and Dibs will have that call and then hand it off to Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert right here, 95.7 The Game, 6:30 tip in Minnesota. Can't wait for that. I don't know what that was. That was actually not really a Minnesota accent. That was more of like a leprechaun. I don't know what that was. But the Anthony Edwards angle in all this is interesting. The Jimmy Butler one, as we've mentioned, is fascinating. And Steve Kerr was also asked about that in his media availability yesterday, if Jimmy is going to be extra fired up to face his old team.
What I'm most impressed with Jimmy is his poise. You know, he's so competitive, but he never seems out of sorts. And that's one of the reasons he's so good taking care of the ball and settling us down. But yeah, I'm sure he'll be ready to go tomorrow.
The trash talking between Jimmy and Anthony Edwards and Draymond, that's actually kind of what I'm excited for. When you get those little, you know, those zoom ins when they're standing at the free throw line, and we got it with Dylan Brooks and we got it with Jimmy Butler, and we had the lip readers on the internet, right, saying, you know, use a snitch, like I own you and stuff like that. Like that's what I love. And I want good old fashioned sports hatred. And I think we've seen a lot of that in these playoffs. And if we could take a step back real quick, like the NBA playoffs have been great. Like this. Already, the Western Conference semis have been unbelievable. All the underdogs won. Can the Warriors make it four in a row? The trend is in their favor. Hey, the Nuggets yesterday, by the way, talk about a total gag job in the heart of a champion for the Denver Nuggets yesterday, and juxtapose that with the gag job that was the Oklahoma City Thunder. Chet Holmgren, hit your free throws. Dagnall, what the hell are you doing fouling? Like when you're up three, like let them run the length of the court. Just horrible, horrible decisions late in that game. And then the Celtics, the defending champs, blowing a 20-point lead at home? That can't happen. And Jalen Brunson redeeming himself with some clutch shots there. Mikal Bridges as well, and OG Anunoby. So big win there. Can the Warriors do it today off just basically 1.5 days of rest with the old men? Do they not, hey, do they go balls to the wall today, Dub Nation? Do you want them to go all out to try to steal this one tonight? 888-957-9570.
Well, you don't throw away any games in the playoffs.
But listen, this is an older team, and you pick and choose your spots. I think they pick and chose their spots in last series, and maybe it almost cost them. But in game five, I absolutely thought they took their foot off the gas in the first couple minutes, and Steve Kerr talked about it. They said, yeah, I don't think they were.
Of the third quarter?
In game five, when they were up 3-1, Steve Kerr said he knew after the first few minutes they weren't mentally locked in.
Okay, there's a difference between physically just subbing guys out and not playing and not playing well. And they were not playing well, and they didn't feel like they, you know, were exerting maximum energy. There's a distinct difference.
But when you're not mentally locked in, that tells me you're mentally checked out, and you know that you have a couple games in the back pocket, and we can come home and try to wrap this thing up. Veterans do that. Whether you think that's ridiculous or not, they absolutely think that way because these guys have been there and done that before.
No, I understand that, but you're still out there running, and you're still out there playing, and you're still out exerting energy. I don't know. I don't necessarily 100% agree with that.
That's fine, but that might happen tonight, again, is what I'm saying. And you might not agree with it, but that's absolutely a thing. Like, again, you're alluding to the series a couple years ago against the Kings and all that energy they exerted through Game 7 and then Game 1 at Chase Center going up against the Lakers, who had a couple days rest at the time. They went all out. They stole Game 1. And then what did they do in Game 2? They rested everyone, basically. They not rested, but they played, and then they got down early and big, and they're like, all right, LeBron, go to the bench. AD, go to the bench. We'll take our chances at home. And they end up going 3-1, and that series was over. So it's a little different because the Warriors aren't at home. These first two games are in Minnesota. So, yeah, I'm saying I would not be surprised if they get down big early and they can't make it a game and that's early in that second half. Maybe you pull them like you did in Game 5 in Houston.
They're not pulling nobody. But unless it's like the late third quarter, that's a different story. Then once you're out there, you're playing. Now, are you playing well? That's a different story. But there's a tax. Like, to me, that we're underselling that there's a tax and there's a penance that you have to pay at some point for playing as hard as they do in the last month. Forget just the last series. The last month, they played 9 games in 15 days to end the season.
Yeah.
All right. And then obviously at the end, it was Saturday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. Now we play again on Tuesday. That's a lot of games in a short period of time.
It is. We got Nick Friedell coming up here in about 10 minutes, joining us on the River Islands Guest Line. Nick Friedell knows all things NBA, and he knows a lot about what Jimmy Butler and what went down when he was a Minnesota Timberwolf. So we'll discuss that. We'll discuss the series, the game tonight. Game 1 is tonight. And tune in for Warriors Live, presented by Xfinity. Stream sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. It's Spadoni. It's Chasky. It's the Morning Roast. Nick Friedell next, brought to you by Safeway.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
He's like, you know, I got class tonight, but I gotta watch this game. If Carter was smart, what he'd do is he'd get a little AirPod, get a little thing, and he'd just have the Odyssey app downloaded, and he can listen to Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert right there. He's like, you gotta do the simulcast. I was like, yeah. Then you pull it up on your phone, all right? You have HBO Max or whatever you have, and you stream it there, and you get the simulcast with the visual, have it potted all the way down, have it on mute, and they got the little earbud, and you're chilling. You're chilling, Carter.
Not skipping class now, I guess.
Sorry.
Well, there's a Wu-Tang joke in here. See, like, Wu-Tang had a line on one of their albums. I think it was Wu-Tang Forever, where he's like, don't go to summer school, kids. Get yourself a Wu-Tang album. It's all the knowledge you'll ever need.
All the knowledge I'll ever need comes from one Nick Friedell, who joins us now on the River Islands Guest Line. He's our Odyssey Sports NBA insider, and insider calls are brought to you by Hyundai. We put your safety first and everything else second. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Nick, good morning. long time no talk. It's Spadoni and Shasky, and we've got a massive, massive game. Oh, wait, whoa. But back it up. We have an intro for you. I almost just blew this whole thing because we have an intro for it. Carter, don't worry. You got it?
It's arguably the greatest intro in history.
The sexiest voice in all of sports media, Nick Friedell.
Nick has this rugged masculinity
I don't know about friend of the program because I think you're lumping me in with being a friend of Friedell, and I don't want to be associated with all that.
Thank you, Nick, and your voice is very deep and sexy.
What you gonna do, brother? Yeah, exactly. When Mac Jones is coming for you?
How would you describe the level of hope that everyone else spoke with yesterday in regards to what James Wiseman brought?
What are they talking about regarding Wiseman and like the impact he can make this season?
Yeah, just how much the...
Well, obviously you can't predict the future and we'll see what happens this summer. But would you be willing to take less money?
Bro, I'm not answering your questions no more. I'm sorry. Oh. Next question.
Oh, so good.
Oh, my God. It's so good. It's a capsule in time. And now Mac Jones is on the Niners.
Nick knew all along that Kyle Shanahan couldn't quit one McCorkle Jones.
I
Nick,
love it.
Good morning, buddy. How you doing?
Oh, guys, it's great to hear y'all's voices, and it's just never going to not make me laugh.
Oh, man.
I love it.
Kelly Oubre, 888-957-9570.
Man, you know what's making us laugh this morning? We're living all these different, like, you know, angles and what-ifs, and the amount of history that's taken place between the Warriors and Timberwolves, it's actually kind of crazy. So when you first, like, saw that this is going to be the matchup, what was your first thought? Was it Rudy Gobert and Draymond Green? Was it the Jimmy Butler, right, history with Minnesota? Was it Anthony Edwards and Steve Kerr and the infamous workout? Like, when you first saw it was going to be T-Wolves, Dubs, what went to your mind, Nick?
Spadone, the first thing in my head was, I don't care how many people pick Minnesota, I'm not betting against Steph Curry. I'm just not doing it. And I know there are a lot of angles, and the soap opera is there. And certainly with Jimmy going back to Minneapolis, you know, they're going to be all over him, and they just cannot stand Draymond. There's a lot of fun stuff for fans to get into. But truly, my first thought was, all these people are saying that Minnesota is just going to roll through the Warriors. And I watched that second half the other night in Houston, and I thought, Steph is still Steph. And we know what Jimmy can do, and certainly we know what motivated Draymond can be. I'm just not going to pick against Steph in this spot. And if they do indeed lose and they have to make changes, okay. But that dude is still the baddest dude on the block.
Wow. I mean, I'm a little taken back because I'm trying to give respect to Minnesota and just watching the Warrior team. Maybe I'm too caught up in the moment. I feel like, again, it's not my official prediction, but like, what do I like this morning? Like, I like Timberwolves in six. You know what I mean? Because like, they're rested, they're younger. But hearing you say that, like, is that more of a, I know it's the Steph Curry because there's obviously the Steph Curry angle, but is there something on Minnesota that, like, scares you that he can exploit? Is it something specific that you're pointing to?
Joe, you know what? It's just knowing the gravitational pull of that dude on the floor. Gotcha. And when you watch Houston, I mean, that defensively, they were just all over him most of the time when they were doubling him, and then they took that second guy off, and oh, here comes Steph, and he started hitting a bunch of shots. On paper, Minnesota should win this series. They are longer. They are younger. They are definitely more rested, as you mentioned. Ant Edwards looks pretty damn awesome and getting even better. And you would think that they just have too much length and depth they would overwhelm a Warriors group. There, you know, how many guys does Kerr actually trust going into this series to play? I know you all talk about it all the time, but when you watch the end of that Rockets series, you go, I don't know. I mean, Pajimski and Moody were missing all kinds of open shots. Will that be the same in this series? They had no rest. You got to figure they're going to be exhausted. All of that is to say they still have Steph Curry. And when you have that dude playing at the level he's still at, I just find it really, really difficult to bet against them, especially given how many people think that Minnesota is just going to topple the Warriors at this point.
All right, so before I get to the Minnesota-specific portion of his career with Jimmy Butler, you go way back with Jimmy. I know you covered the Bulls for a period of time. You covered Minnesota for a period of time. You've obviously were covering the Warriors, covered the Brooklyn Nets, and I know you were down in South Beach at one time. How long does you and the Jimmy relationship go back, and are you as surprised as we all were that it's been this fruitful?
Here is the craziest part of this whole story, Joe. The night Jimmy got drafted by the Bulls, we were at the Berto Center, which was their old practice facility. And one of the producers at my old radio station at ESPN 1000 in Chicago, they had Jimmy's number. So Jimmy gets drafted by the Bulls. Immediately, they're calling Jimmy, the Bulls are, trying to get him on the phone, figure out logistics, get him on a conference call with the media in Chicago. Well, he already picked up for our producer in Chicago. So Jimmy's on the radio doing an interview with me and a couple of friends of mine at the station, and he's in tears because he's so emotional about his journey, what got him there, being able to get into a team. At that point, Derrick Rose was at the peak of his powers. That was a young, up-and-coming group. He was so excited. So literally, I have known Jimmy Butler since the second he got drafted in the NBA. And I've been with him. That's a major drift.
Please. Thank you for acknowledging it.
I'm going to call you a Super Mario brother. There's so much plumbing problems going on with these drips.
I mean, just absolutely drip, drip, drip. But it's also the truth. And I would tell you this about Jimmy, having watched it all these years in all these different places. If you want to talk about somebody who will raise the level of his own game when his team needs him to the most, that is Jimmy Butler. So, Joe, you were asking, like, well, what's the difference? And the matchups don't look really great. And the size and the length of Minnesota, I don't know. I mean, who are you playing besides Looney? And how long are you playing Looney? All the same questions the three of us have asked forever. The reason I still think the Warriors could do this is not just because of Steph and his greatness. It's because I have watched Jimmy Butler at all these different stops as he continued to get better and better and better and more confident, and that's the huge key, be able to deliver when his team needed it the most. And I think he's up to the challenge right now, and it's why I've always believed, guys, that not only can the Warriors still do some damage this year, and we'll see what happens in this series, I think the window is still open for them next year, because they'll be able to retool the roster around Jimmy more, given that he's only been there still a few months since after that deal.
Odyssey Sports NBA insider Nick Friedell joining us here on the Morning Roast. And insider calls are brought to you by Hyundai. Hyundai helps protect you and your family on the road. We put your safety first and everything else second. So it's interesting you say that, Nick. It's because it goes back to Steph Curry, and you're not betting against that guy. I understand that. Is it crazy to say, though, that the Warriors might not have the best player overall in this series?
Ooh, now that is a juicy one, Mr. Spadone. Ant Edwards is awesome. His time is coming. It may be here right now, and that will probably be, as far as storylines of this series, is there a little bit of a torch pass possibility if he comes out and just dominates. But as we start this series, if you ask me which guy would I want more right now for this series, give me Steph Curry. Ant Edwards is the guy you'd want to build around. He's the guy that so many people in the league would take right now over anybody because of his age his talent, the ability to continue to get better and better. Right now, in this moment, give me Steph. He's done it. His teammates know he can carry them when he needs to. He's next to Jimmy, which seems to give the entire team a lift. And he just got a gigantic performance from Buddy Hield, of all people. So Buddy's going to walk into this series going, okay, I can do this. And if the Warriors get some help and Steph is still Steph, that's where I think this can happen for Golden State.
You know, it's so interesting. Like, obviously, Johnny Flynn and Ricky Rubio get taken in front of Steph Curry. You don't take one, you take two point guards. It's one of the all-time gaffes, right? And now Anthony Slater puts out an article this morning kind of referencing the 2020 draft. And I remember you were covering the team at that time, and the world was paused, and the season was on hold, and the Warriors were going nowhere. And so for like five, six months, this entire station, all we did was talk 2020 draft, 2020 draft, 2020 draft. And now all this information is leaking out. And I remember going back in time, all of the people that were skeptical on Anthony Edwards. Oh, he might want to be a rapper. Well, you know, there's questions about his shot. No, I'm serious.
No, he didn't love basketball. Remember, that was
that
the thing.
Was another
like,
one. Exactly.
I like watching the NFL more than I like watching basketball. Yeah. People got mad at him.
Not that he wasn't talented. It was just like, is he serious enough? Like, we had all these questions. And now Slater puts out an article saying, hey, it wasn't just Joe Lacob who loved Wiseman. He did. But there was consensus. Bob Myers, Steve Kerr, and the veteran players all wanted the Wiseman pick. They wanted the center. They wanted to take that swing for the future. Are you surprised that information has come out now? Are you surprised at that thought process going back then? When I tell you all of that, that's been reported from Anthony Slater, how does that land in your lap?
Joe, the crazy part is, I'd add this part to the Edwards conversation too. Remember, people thought, oh, well, is he really that good if he goes to Georgia and they really don't do anything?
Yes.
Is he going to be able to lift up an NBA team on his own? So there were so many different thoughts. But, yeah, I mean, everybody seemingly thought in that Warriors organization that Wiseman was the guy and that he was the guy that you could plug in around the pieces they already had. Specifically at that point, Steph and Draymond, and we weren't sure with Clay. He had just gotten hurt again. And they thought that Wiseman was not only going to be a really strong fit around those guys, that he could develop into being that bridge that they needed. And the truth for the Warriors in that moment is they just whiffed completely. And it happens all the time in the NBA. It happens to the best teams, but it happened there in a major, major way. And the Edwards conversation is interesting as far as revisionist history goes, because people say, oh, Edwards, why didn't they think so highly of him at the moment? Well, you know what? It really didn't matter because Minnesota took him. So the question it becomes, you know, would you have wanted LaMelo and, oh, Halliburton, all the different things that come after that domino effect. But in that moment, absolutely, the Warriors believed that Wiseman was the guy. And if you're looking for reasons why things didn't play out the way that the organization wanted them to over the last few years, don't look any farther than right there. Because he was supposed to be the pick that changed course of the future and made everything smoother as far as the transition from Steph, Draymond, Clay to the next wave. It didn't happen. They missed, and they're still paying that price because of it.
All right, biggest story in this series. Everyone's talking about it. The memes are out of control. We know. We all know what it is, and we're tiptoeing around it. It's Draymond Green and Rudy Gobert, Nick.
My mom says to me, are they going to fight like you and your brother again in the kitchen? Because the chokehold that Draymond had on Draymond, I mean on Gobert, my mom said me and my brother would do that in the kitchen all the time with each other, fighting over the last bowl of cereal.
Oh, WrestleMania. Cody Rhodes is jealous of that chokehold that he put on Rudy Gobert.
Did he have to drag him halfway across the court?
The game, like, barely, it was like, what, Nick, remember it was like 10 seconds or something in the game? I was getting out of the shower, whatever I was doing, and I was like, wait, what the heck is going on right now? People, like, benches were separated. It's like, this game just started. Like, so the Draymond Green aspect in this series is what?
Fidone, I'd also throw in, as I watched the replay the other night, because, of course, everybody's going to be talking about that, I think the underrated part of that whole clip is Kerr literally telling Draymond, let go. he's looking at him going, this doesn't look so great. Like, let go of him, Draymond. But as far as any conversation with Draymond goes, they just have to hope that he's not going to get pushed into an emotional situation. And I'll give him credit because I'm sitting there watching Game 7 the other night, and he hits those first two threes. And, I mean, Carter, hit the drip for me again. But Slater and I, going back for years, were always like, oh boy, Draymond hits that first three, and he is screaming at the other bench. He is sitting there going, oh, you guys can't touch me. You're going to leave me wide open. Guys, Draymond hit those first two shots in Game 7. He didn't say a word. He just played. And that is the best thing that can happen for the Warriors in the next couple weeks. The Timberwolves are going to try to bait Draymond like any other team, and he has the history with Gobert, and he knows how important he is, especially for the younger group, especially for Steph right now at this stage of his career. I know it would be a really, really rough bet to bet on Draymond to keep his head in the game throughout the next couple weeks, but I think that with what's at stake and with the history between the two guys that's already been in place with Ian Gobert, I think he can actually do it. And it wouldn't surprise me if he knows going in, if I lose it, it's all over. And I have no doubt that that's been made clear to him by Kerr and Dunleavy and Steph and all the powers that be. But I think that will be a gigantic key. If Draymond keeps his head in this series, then they've got a legit chance to do it.
All right, you said you rewatched that video and you saw Kerr in the background saying, let him go. When you watch it again, I want you to see, as Draymond's got the chokehold on Gobert, he does the UFC tucking of the chin to keep someone else from choking him out. It was incredible, Nick. I swear to God, like, I could hear Joe Rogan in my voice. Look at him. He's tucking the chin. He's tucking the chin. And so that he couldn't get tapped out. I want you to see that. But I got a bigger question for you. The Jimmy Butler fan fallout in Minnesota. They've got new ownership, A-Rod. It's going to be unbelievable because I love A-Rod. He's super charming.
Oh, God. But I hope he sits next to Joe Hagan.
There's kind of a new vibe, obviously, with Minnesota. They got rid of Karl Anthony Towns. They bring in Julius Randle. But the fans, do the fans still despise Jimmy Butler? And if so, what's it going to feel like in that arena?
The answer is yes. It is jilted lover syndrome deluxe because Jimmy broke up with them. He didn't want to play with Towns. He didn't think that team could win. I think he really liked Wiggins, but at that time he wasn't sure if he was a championship caliber player, and he just quit on that team. He knew he wanted out of there. He wanted Tibbs to trade him. It didn't happen initially early in that season, and he did all the things that he did, which are well documented. As far as tonight and moving forward in Minnesota, fans don't forget. And you know, Joe, it's going to get ramped up even more because it's the playoffs. Mm. People are going to have a few pops before walking into Target Center. They're going to be really pumped up. And I think they're going to boo the hell out of Jimmy. But I would tell you this, having been around Jimmy from the beginning, there is nothing that the Minnesota fans could do that would make Jimmy Butler happier than if they boo the living you-know-what out of him, because it will make him focus that much more into the situation that he's in. I actually think it'll take some pressure off the Warriors in general because they're so used to being hated. If Jimmy takes most of that hatred, I think it'll free up a few other guys and they'll say, all right, we need to be there for him. But absolutely, Minnesota thought that Jimmy was that missing piece, and that if you plug Jimmy next to Towns and Wiggins with Tibbs, that they were going to be where they are right now. It didn't happen. He left. He left in a way that we really haven't seen that much of, at least publicly, where he's just like, yep, I'm out of here, and had the practice and the whole nine yards. But I think that is a real psychological edge for Jimmy, because rare is the time where a crowd will get on him or a city will get on him and he won't raise the level of his own game and help everybody else around him.
Nick, my wife very rarely listens and never texts me during the show. Right now, you tell Nick, I said hi and we miss him. 3 exclamation points. She don't even love me that way,
wow,
doggy.
Wow. Jesus.
Michelle says,
hey, wait a minute. Joe and Spadone, well, hold on now. We know she loves you that much. That's the only way that she could make it through all these years. So let's square that part up right now. But tell her I love her back.
I know.
And at some point here in the future, I hope I'm back around San Francisco.
Let's
and
go.
Come over to the house and see everybody. But
hell yeah,
I miss you guys really bad for sure.
I love
hey,
you,
Nick,
pal.
Good stuff, man. We appreciate the time, and we'll definitely talk again in the future in these playoffs, and hopefully the Dugs extend it because you feel like they're going to win this series. Real quick, how many games?
I mean, if I'm going to pick the worst, I'm going to take them in 7 because okay. I don't like everybody else. I don't think it can go any less than that if you've got the Warriors rolling, but I do think they can find a way because you cannot bet against number 30.
There you go. And I'm not betting against Nick Friedell, baby. Nick,
let's go.
Thanks, man. We appreciate
you,
the time.
I love you guys. I'll see you later.
There he goes. That was Odyssey NBA, Odyssey Sports NBA insider Nick Friedell. Insider calls brought to you by Hyundai. We put your safety first and everything else second. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Big takeaway from that interview. It was a great interview. If you missed any of it, if you just joined late, find it on YouTube or the free Odyssey app. All of our interviews will be there.
You know, Joe, the big takeaway is pretty straightforward. He's not betting against Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors. Now, let's be fair here. Nick is probably one of the most skeptical of those who has covered the Warriors in the last, 7 or 8 years?
Yes, but I'll say this, because he joined me for a week when you were out in Hawaii. He was very high on the Jimmy Butler trade when he got here. Like, he did believe that this team could go on a deep run.
Really?
So that changed the kind of the skeptical nature that is Nick Friedell.
Yeah.
And rightfully so. He's a really good journalist. You got to have some sort of skeptic angle when it comes to everything. I think Warriors fans think he's a Debbie Downer most of the time. But once the Jimmy Butler trade happened, because he knows Jimmy Butler, the player, as he alluded to in that interview, very well from the Chicago days, from Minnesota, from Philly, from everywhere, from the Miami days, he's very tapped in on Jimmy Butler. And he knew that Jimmy could unlock something else in this team. And boy, has he. They're in the second round. They're in the Western Conference semis because of him. So he was very high on him. I want to have his back there. He was.
Well, you know, he covered Jimmy literally from the day he was drafted.
Yeah.
I mean, that was an interesting story. I didn't even know that part of it.
That was a flex.
Isn't it? I mean, he loves Jimmy Butler, obviously. He knows how good he is. I one other thing I got to say about Nick, and I miss Nick in general. Look, I'm calling it like I see it. I'm kind of an enemy behind the lines, if you will, enemy behind the gates.
Behind enemy lines?
Yes, but like in the sense of I'm not one of these normal journalists. I didn't go to school to cover sports and things like that. And so I'm kind of like a guy that has imposter syndrome when it comes to the media. There are very few people that I've come across that are just normal good dudes. You're one of them.
Oh,
you know,
thanks.
Carter's one of them. Sam, I love you. You're a little out there.
He's a good dude.
I love Sam. Sam will admit he's quirky, okay?
I think we all are in our own ways, but we
absolutely
love Sam, yes.
Nick Friedell is one of the very few that just blends into the crowd of all my buddies and my family, and you would think that he was born and raised with my crew and my buddies and my family, and that's why I just love him. We're very kindred spirits, but he is very skeptical on a lot of things, whether it's the 49ers, whether it's, you know, the Warriors in general, and him calling it the bonus title, which is the 2022 title, was like a backhanded compliment perceived by a lot of Warrior fans. I think it was just Nick calling it like he saw it from his point of view. To hear him have so much love for the Warriors in this series against Minnesota, I'm not going to lie. Now I kind of believe, like, in where Nick is. I'm not, like, easily swayed, but I'm kind of starting to meet him in the middle. I don't know if I can bet against the Warriors.
I thought the only thing that was crazy, for me anyways, I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
give it to me.
It could happen. Like, I don't think the fact that the Warriors could win the series is crazy. I don't know if they could do it in 7. Like, that's...
What do you mean?
It's every other day now, guys. Like, they just came from a 7-game... This is an old team. They're old. 35, 35, 37,
You do get 3 days in between 5 and 6? Is it 5 and 6?
Let's look at it right now. I think it's every other day the rest of the series. Let me look it up. So Warriors, T-Wolves, schedule.
All right, here we go. It's 3 days off in between 5 and 6. Look,
but that's like, but even then, like these first four, it's going to be May 6th, May 8th, May 10th, May 12th. May 14th, and then May 18th. Yes, game 5 and 6. But that's getting to that point is going to be a load, man.
Why do you think I was so, like, to start the show, like, I'm trying to give you how I feel. I don't know. This is a tough matchup, you know, and like, I want to see it play out, too. I was infinitely more confident against the Rockets than I am against Minnesota heading into it. And I think it starts because of my crazy fear of that guy, Anthony Edwards.
That's why I asked the question, because I don't think an 888-957-9570, if you want to get mad at me, if you want to disagree with me, it's fine.
Give it to me.
I don't think the Warriors have the best player in this series.
Right now?
No, just for the series. The Warriors do not have the best player in this series.
The best player
in that Lakers Timberwolves series in the first round, it wasn't LeBron, it wasn't Luka Doncic, it was Anthony Edwards.
Shooting 77% from the free throw line and like 31% from three?
I still think he is the best player in this series, over Stephen Curry, over Jimmy Butler. 888-957-9570 is the number. Do the Warriors have the best player in this series, in this Western Conference semifinals? I don't think they do. Nick Friedell disagrees. What say you?
I don't agree. If we were talking like next 2 years, next 3 years, next 5 years, just everyone's taking Anthony Edwards over Steph Curry. Right now, like, I want people to go back and rewatch the second half of the Warrior Rocket game. Steph wasn't just good offensively. He was tenacious defensively. He was unbelievably fundamental in terms of boxing out and the grit and the toughness. His game mentally has never been stronger. Now, does he still do the crazy turnovers? Yeah, in the games prior to that, he did some wild, horrible on-ball turnovers, live ball turnovers that were just awful. But he tightened all that up in Game 7. I think his IQ is the highest it's ever been. Anthony Edwards might be at his physical peak. I don't know if his because the game is about, are you mentally ready to win these playoff games? I don't think he's there mentally yet. I think he still has some room to grow there.
He got to the Western Conference Finals last year.
Sure.
And that for me, and they took out the defending champs. Like, it doesn't get more mentally strong for me anyways than that. He was incredible. That was last year. This is this year. And I don't think a lot of people had the T-Wolves taking out the Lakers in 5 games. Maybe they thought they could beat them
in six games. I was so low on this Lakers team.
Well, I know, but even at your lowest, I don't think you thought they were going to be cooked in 5 games. Like, they dismantled them.
But when you watched it after 3, you were like, the Lakers don't have an answer.
No, they don't. They didn't. And I think the size and that whole, you know, the Mark Williams debacle that was, him trading Dalton Connect, all that, their size was a problem in this game. And I think that the size of the Minnesota Timberwolves and their athleticism, I'm going to see if it's as big as a problem it is for the Warriors as it was against the Houston Rockets in that first series, because they are different. But I do think most of us can agree that this Minnesota Timberwolves team is top to bottom. It's just more well-rounded. Offensively, the star power, the mindset.
Yeah, I would agree.
They're more experienced. They know what they're doing more often than not. And they're not going to have the shooting stretches, I believe, that the lack thereof shooting stretches that the Houston Rockets had.
Anthony Edwards is amazing. There's not a doubt in my mind of his greatness. Steph Curry is one of the greatest players of all time.
Yes, he is. He's also 37.
I don't care if he's 37. Okay. I'm watching one of the greatest players of all time. That game 7, the way that he played basketball, off ball, on ball defense, the way that he was setting up offense, he was spectacular. And yeah, he had some bad games in the series. He's one of the greatest basketball players of all time. Until I see a precipitous drop-off, he will get the benefit of the doubt against any other player not named LeBron James.
And LeBron was incredible in that series, like against the T-Wolves. And I don't say that lightly, that the best player in that series, and that's why I mention him, LeBron James, Hall of Famer, one of the greatest of all time. And then Luka Doncic, future Hall of Famer, one of the best players in our league currently. Anthony Edwards jumped off the screen.
This is the way I would put it. Once you reach a certain status within the history of your game, you cannot be cemented by the form of someone playing better at that given time. Case in point,
Patrick Mahomes' place in the game is cemented.
Sure.
Okay?
I'm not saying like the
Joe
legacy.
Joe Burrow could be playing hot football leading up to it. I'm taking Patrick Mahomes.
It's fine.
Right? Like, it's the same way I view Steph Curry. He is so good, until he's knocked off, I will not waver from my opinion.
Okay, like, so in that regards then, every single series going forward, the Warriors are going to have the best player no matter what.
Yes, but that doesn't mean the best player wins the series.
I'm not saying that.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
just asked the question, who the has best the best player
yes.
in the series? I think it's Anthony Edwards. You think it's Stephen Curry?
I think it's Steph.
What's
I think Steph's
you?
The best player left in the playoffs.
RJ and Napa wants to join in the conversation.
Yeah.
888-957-9570. Remember, you can call or text. Same number to call or text. The Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. RJ, good morning. Do the Warriors have the best player in this series, RJ?
No, thanks for taking the call, guys. I think I agree that it's Anthony Edwards, but I will say this. The Warriors may not have the best player, but they have the best team. And fortunately, we're not playing golf or tennis, so I think we're good. Thanks, guys.
It's a great point.
I wonder how many people agree with you. I wonder, especially in the Bay Area, you're going to get more consensus on Steph in this region than any other part of the country.
Correct, and I know where I'm at, and people will probably get mad at me, or they think I'm a hater, or I'm being a hater. I'm not. I think the Warriors actually have a really good chance of winning this series still because of their experience, because I do believe what RJ said, their top three guys, I would take over the top three of the Minnesota Timberwolves. And who are the top three of the Minnesota Timberwolves, if I asked you right now? Joe, it's Anthony Edwards.
Mm-hmm. Julius Randle. Yeah, and then
it depends.
I think the third player oscillates.
See, exactly.
Yeah, but the same thing happens with the Warriors.
Yeah, I still think it's baked into the equation every single time. They might not have good performances.
Was Draymond the third best player in all their wins? No.
No, not in all their wins, but I do think defensively at times, and maybe it was just that team in particular that gave him fits and they knew how to attack him. And Şengün, like, let's be honest, Şengün's an all-star. He's a load.
Yeah.
He's a big... I don't think the bigs on Minnesota are on the Şengün level offensively.
No.
I don't. They're not.
No, but Gobert cleans up around the rim.
He does.
Way better. Like, you're going to look up and he's going to have 15 to 20 points on dunks. And it's just, he's just a load. And he gets a lot of, this is the when you play Gobert, he gets a lot of defensive fouls on your team because boxing him out is nearly impossible. You will see so many shots go up and the Warriors are going to get fouls on trying to box him out.
I know that no matter what, I think the Warriors, I'm confident in this, they're not going to do what the Lakers did against him and just not play Jackson Hayes in that game five. There's no way in hell at any point in this series Gobert is going to have 27 points and 24 rebounds. That can't happen.
No, he's had 20 against the Warriors.
He's never had 27 rebounds. And 24.
No, but he's had 20 rebounds against the Warriors.
The 27 points is what I'm saying.
Well, no,
that can't happen.
I bet if you look at his career against the Warriors, he actually scores a lot.
Really?
Like, I bet he's up 18+. I bet he is, because he does get a lot of dunk putbacks.
Let's see, right here.
Give it to
me. Gobert versus Golden State Warriors all-time average. All right, I got it right here. 11 points. This is this season, though. 11
okay,
points,
yeah.
10 boards, 1.5 blocks. I'm finding it. In the meantime, let's hear from the callers. Let's go to Josh in Dallas, who wants to join in the conversation, 888-957-9570. We're talking about best player in the series. I think it's Anthony Edwards. Shasky, he thinks it's Stephen Curry. What say you, Josh? Good morning.
Howdy. How you doing today?
Oh, howdy. Let's
go.
Yeah,
what's going on? What's going on, y'all? Yeah, so right now, Warriors got three best players. We got three. We got Stephen Curry. We just added Jimmy Butler, the third. And we got Draymond. I do not really think people do not have any answers for those three players. Yes, we are not going to win every game. Yes, I do like Anthony Edwards. Yes, I do like Randle. Yes, I do like Naz Reid off the bench for Minnesota. But those three best players that I just named is history. You're not going to be able to beat them. You're going to have to take all your time and strength to beat them, and it ain't going to happen. So Warriors in six.
Ooh, confident.
There you go. 888-957-9570. Josh sounded like Filmo Mike trying to do like a cowboy accent, and I loved every second of it. But he's confident. But he said the best three players overall. I don't know about that. Like, I would take the Warriors' best three over the Minnesota Timberwolves' best three, but it's apples to apples, which one you want to take?
What version of Julius Randle are we going to get?
And what version of Naz Reid, too?
Like, Julius Randle has had a mixed bag of success against the Warriors. There's games where he's dominated because his outside shot is falling. There's other games where they forced him going to his right because he loves to go left,
mm-hmm.
and he hasn't been as effective, and he's gotten into foul trouble. You know, he's a guy that loves to kind of hold the ball and get his own. I don't know what they're going to do. Are they going to make him be the inefficient scorer like Şengün and say, hey, we're not going to let you pass, but we'll let you score? Or are they going to try to completely shut him down and not let him score at all? I don't know.
I got the career averages. So in the regular season, Rudy Gobert has played 39 games against the Warriors. That's averaging 12 points.
Only 12.
12 rebounds and 1.5 assists. Still averaging a double-double. Pretty good. And in the playoffs, his average is 15.5 points, 15.5. 13 rebounds, 1.8 assists.
15.5 and 13. Those are crazy numbers.
It is, absolutely. 888-957-9570.
For a guy that doesn't close against the Warriors, because 9 times out of 10, they're trying to get him and run him off the floor.
In the meantime, let's hit the injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Some rough injury news for the former Oakland A's, formerly of the Oakland A's, the Sacramento A's of Las Vegas. I don't know what they're called. But I know second baseman Zach Geloff from his rehab stint after he sustained a stress reaction in his ribs, forcing him to shut down his swinging progression. So Zach Geloff had to get pulled there. The A's have no timetable for his return. Geloff was working his way back from a hamate bone injury he suffered at the end of spring training. The A's got a walk-off yesterday over the Mariners as the Giants fell to the Chicago Cubbies out in Chi-Town. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer & Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. We got a lot of calls that are fired up about this best player take, and we'll get into it on the other side. We got Anthony Slater at 8:30, our Odyssey Warriors insider, and obviously covers the team for The Athletic. Best player in the series for me is Anthony Edwards. I think he is the best player overall. He is a beast. He is a problem. Steph, though, he's going with Stephen Curry, and that's okay. What say you? 888-957-9570 is the number. It's Spadoni, Chasky, it's the Morning Roast, and it's brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good.
Hey, I'm Ludman. I'm going to be at Freeman's and Pies this Saturday with Mark Grandy.